In the name of Jesus, amen. Today is Honor Your Father Day. It's not an option, and it's actually not only today, it's every day. It's God's fourth commandment, His will. So, does that include abusive fathers, terrible fathers, fathers unworthy of honor and so forth? Because I know some of you have had fathers like that. We'll get around to that because that's serious business. God's command bumping up against an emotional impossibility. But first, let's focus on, for lack of a better way of saying it, good dads. Why honor your father? Well, because he brought you into this world and he can sure as well take you out of it. It does come with a commandment, a promise, live long in the land. Or maybe I'm misunderstanding that. No, that's not a good reason. Besides, you're probably big enough to take your dad out anyway. No, honor your father because your dad's been given by none other than God himself. Your dad's been given the vocation of fatherhood. In a very real sense, your dad has been placed into an office. No, it's not an office with plush carpet, a fancy handcrafted desk, and shelving filled with books. Wrong office. Those are boring offices anyway. It's a position, a post, a responsibility, a job, so to speak. Your father stands in the divinely given office of father. He walked into the door of that office when he was put into another vocation or office called husband, when he married your mom, or at least when he got her pregnant, because sometimes that order gets a little mixed up. And as you well know, that's not just a trait of today's generation. Husband and wife, like Adam and Eve in the garden, male and female, she is like him in the right way, made of the same stuff, of majesty co-equal. Not on par with God, but majesty co-equal nevertheless. And unlike him in the right way, quite different in fact, a woman rather than a man. Tantalizingly attractive, to say the least. A complementary fit, so to speak. And because of that holy fit, well, they had you. That said, there are some very loving husbands who would like this day to be a happy Father's Day for them. And some wonderful wives who are dying to be moms in the worst way, but timing or biology or something has denied them that. It's a terribly unfair world. May the peace of Jesus be with you and comfort you. There's more, though. As father, your dad's the Lord's instrument, the Lord's hands. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason, and all my senses. And you know what? He used your dad to give you those things. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, Vulcan shorts and rainbow sandals, A's burgers and days at the beach. And he used your dad to give you those things too, and a lot more besides. Do you have a bedroom? An iPhone? A car? A place at the kitchen table? Will you go on vacation this summer? Do you need a ride to practice? Need help with college tuition? Money for prom? Whatever you have, the Lord gave you through your dad. And your mom, we can't leave her out of the picture, that's for sure, but it's Dad's Day, so moms, just chill a little bit. Dad works. He earns a salary. He puts up with stuff that goes on at work in order to provide for you, to care for you. Your dad is the Lord's mask. It's It's kind of wild to think about, but God hides himself behind your dad to give you daily bread. You'd think that your dad should hide himself behind God, but it's the other way around. God works through your dad. By the hand of your father, God has given you the good things of this life and of the life to come as well. No, your dad didn't die to forgive you all your sins, but your dad did carry you to the baptismal font where you would receive rebirth in water in the Spirit. It was there you received the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and above your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. It was there where you were buried with Christ into his Good Friday death and raised out of those waters to everlasting life. Your dad laid down on the bed next to your squirming little body and taught you how to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep in the Lord's Prayer. Even when bowing your head and folding your hands and closing your eyes didn't keep you from poking your little sister, he brought you to Sunday school and to divine service when it would have been much easier to stay at home and watch ESPN and not make you get dressed. He made sure that you learned the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and that you received the Lord's Supper. Exhausted after putting you to sleep, he fell asleep many nights while praying for you, for your safety, that you remain in the faith, that you find a good woman or good man to marry, as the case may be. You want to know what God's hands look like? Look at your dad's hands. You want to know what God sounds like? Listen to your dad's voice telling you about Jesus, doing everything in his power to raise you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord so that his grandchildren will hear about Jesus too. That's what's most important to him, really. When push comes to shove, not much else, not grades, not trophies and medals, not the fact that you're above average, not how big your paycheck is, just whether in the end you and your spouse and your children trust Jesus for their salvation. Everything else is, in the end, inconsequential. So no wonder the fourth commandment begins with the word honor. Honor your father, because there's a hidden majesty in the office of Father, and that hidden majesty is the Lord himself. Your dad, in the office of Father, is there as the Lord's representative, as the Lord's ambassador. That should cause you great awe when you are in the presence of your dad. And it should cause fathers to shudder and tremble at the incredible responsibility they've been given. So how do you honor your father? You speak differently to him with respect. You act differently toward him with deference and humility. You obey him even when he's asking you to do something you don't want to do, as long as he's not asking you to do something illegal, immoral, or unethical. Not because he's bigger and stronger, but because he holds an office he's been put into by none other than the Almighty God and Father of us all. Honor your father, and you're honoring God. Besides, when you honor your father, you're not just being a good girl or a good boy. You're actually doing holy work, blessed work. In fact, there's no greater good work you can do than to honor your father. And here's where repentance needs to come in. I know how it goes, because I was and probably still am very experienced in a bad sort of way. There comes this odd time in life where children treat dad as if he is their worst enemy. There comes a time when dads can't do anything right. There comes a time when dads can't say anything right. There comes a time when your dad becomes dumber than a box of rocks and just about as useful. You yell at him, if only in your head. You stew over him, complain to your friends about him, don't honor him. Stop for a moment and think about that. Because your dad's not only your dad, but also holds an office given to him by God, you not only sin against your dad when you dishonor him, you sin against the Lord who's busy using your dad as his instrument to bring good into your life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So it's time to confess the sins you've committed against your father. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So us dads need to repent as well. We've violated our vocation of father, just as our kids have violated their vocation as children. You know you have. I certainly have and still do. You too are a sinner. I know that because it takes one to know one. We're not perfect. So dads, be a man. Own up to your sins against your children. Teach your children to confess by confessing to them yourself. Let them know for certain that you know you're far from perfect. Tell your kids you're sorry you failed them in your office as their father. Like King David, tell the truth. I have sinned against the Lord. Ask them to forgive you, to grant you holy absolution. Holding an office isn't easy. It's hard to deny yourself in order to live for your children and for your family. That's just not the way we're wired. We'd rather ditch, live for ourselves, farm out our parental duties to others. Let the experts do it. Faithfulness is tough. Commitment's a challenge. The gospel's the right way, but the law is quicker. There are times we don't act like a little Christ, but rather like a crazed tyrant. So help me God, if you don't straighten up, I'll... And you know how to finish whatever you put there. Fatherhood's exhausting, frustrating. So we disregard our responsibilities. Hide at work as long as we can. Let mom do it. She's better at it anyway. Sorry for letting the secret out, guys. We become impatient. We complain. We're quick to anger. So repent. Ask forgiveness. Let Jesus get in between you and your children and your wife. Forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you for everything. Speak to each other like Samuel did to David. The Lord has taken away your sin. Do you remember that time in the gospel where that lady crashed the Pharisees' party in order to use Jesus? No, she wasn't putting the moves on him. She wasn't trying to turn a trick. Instead, for the first time in her life, because somewhere along her very sinful past, she bumped into the gospel, or the gospel bumped into her. She snuck into Simon the Pharisee's house to use Jesus properly. She gave Jesus the highest worship. And how'd she do that? Not with her tears and her hair and her perfume. No, she believed. She trusted that all her sins were totally forgiven only and all in Jesus. She dared to believe that Jesus had come to forgive sinners, even her. That's the highest form of worship. And what did Jesus tell her? We'll see. Come back after you've made some progress and we'll reevaluate your allowance. No, he said nothing of the sort. Life had slammed her up against the rock-hard wall of the law. She knew she was a sinner. She knew she'd failed miserably. She didn't need to be told that. Her whole life was screaming that at her. What she needed to hear is exactly what Jesus told her, without condition. Your sins, my dear, are forgiven. And his absolution does what it says. His forgiveness gives what it promises. That's why she loved Jesus so much. That's why she stood crying her eyes out behind him. That's why she washed his feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and then poured expensive perfume all over them. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. She was forgiven for everything. No sin left out. She'd never had anyone love her like that. And that's the way Jesus loves you too. Children and dads and moms as well, your sins are forgiven. Jesus doesn't leave any of your sins off of his Good Friday cross. So kids, take the chance and forgive your dads in Jesus' name. And fathers, forgive your children. Tell them, say it, proclaim it to them. I forgive you, Dad. Say those words. You're forgiven, son. Say it. Young lady, I'm letting it go. God's peace. I forgive you. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation, which is precisely why Jesus tells the woman and why I tell you today, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in God's peace. And saved by the Lord's forgiveness, you can now go back home and live in peace with each other as fathers, as children, in the family, with mom, children honoring their father, and fathers doing the everyday, humdrum, boring, ordinary tasks of life, fathering, parenting, nothing really extraordinary, playing, goofing around, maybe even doing some of those things with your kids that mom doesn't approve of. God using your hands and your feet and your mouth and your skills to take care of your children, to sacrifice yourself for them, to live for them, for their benefit, for their well-being. And as you live and discharge the office of fatherhood, you model, you show in a real, concrete way, you show your children what it means that God is our Father, knowing all along that where you have failed, your dear Father's Son died for that also. Now, what about honoring your father when your father's dishonoring, abusive physically or emotionally, neglectful, absent, too rigid, too lenient, faithless, a little light on the virtue end of things? It's difficult enough to honor a good father, let alone one who's not. There's no easy answer, no silver bullet that slays that dragon. But I do have a few ideas for you. First, honor the role, the office, the vocation of fatherhood. The Bible doesn't say you have to like him. It says you have to honor him and at least treat him with a modicum of respect. Obviously, he needs your prayers, so pray for him and for yourself. Forgive him. True, he's not worthy of forgiveness, but then no one is. That's the whole concept of forgiveness. Let it go. Because the anger you carry around inside of yourself is only eating you up, not him. He's not having a bad day like you are because you're upset. Break the cycle. You can learn from a bad example as well as you can from a good one. At least a bad example teaches you how not to be. In Scripture, Jonathan certainly didn't learn how to be a good father to our good friend to David from his father Saul. And Hezekiah certainly didn't learn how to be a good king from his wicked father, King Ahaz. Break the cycle. Be thankful for the life that you've been given, even if it's a broken, stressful one. I'm glad you're here. A lot of people are. And finally, let his bad example remind you that you really do have a good father. We all do. The best of fathers. And an amazing older brother who sought you out when you were lost and rescued you by giving his life for yours to save you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us now confess our